Halachas Orachaim Chelek Aleph Hilchas Birchas HaShachar Halacha Hey Paragraph Tzadik Vov. In this next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to summarize what we learned in the past shir or two and show us how it's all merumas in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. V'ze b'chinas smichus ha-mishnah, Rav Nosson Zal says what we've just learned in the past few paragraphs is related to the closeness in the Mishnah of three different statements that are made in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Number one, Masoires Siog LaTorah. Masoires means tradition, heritage. In this case, it refers to the Torah Shebal Peh. The oral Torah is a fence, LaTorah, for the written Torah. Statement number two, Maisrois, the tzedakah, the charity that we give, especially the tithes, the Maiser, the 10%, Siog LaOisher, is a fence and a protection for a person's wealth. Number three, statement number three, Nedorim, vows, Siog LaPrishus, are a fence and a protection to help a person who wants to be poirish from Olam Hazeh, who wants to be poirish from Taivois and things like that, for a person who wants to try to become more spiritual, more of an ascetic. And finally, statement number four, Siog LaChochma Shtika, a fence and a protection for Chochma, for Seichel, is silence, knowing when to be quiet. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain these and show how this summarizes what we've been learning in the past shir or two. Masoires Siog LaTorah, tradition, heritage, is a protection for the Torah, for the written Torah, Ze Bechinas Torah Shebal Peh. The term Masoires here refers to Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, which includes Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, the Medroshim, the Zohar HaKodesh, the Shulchan Aruch, all of those Sforim, Shenimser Alonu Bal Peh, which was given to us orally, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai orally, Shehu Siog LaTorah Shebichsav. That's a protection and a fence for the written Torah. Why? Kimi Torah Shebichsav Bilvad Ein Yoidin Dovor. Because from the written Torah, we don't know anything at all just about of what Hashem wants. V'loi shum mitzvah eich lekayma. And we don't really know how to fulfill the details of any of the mitzvahs just about from the written Torah. Kimavur kama pomim b'kol ha-sforim u'bidvareinu. As is explained in many sforim, including our sforim, the Likutei Moran and other sforim. Rak ho'ikr siog lekayim Torah shebichsav, and therefore, the main fence, the main thing that assures a person and helps a person to understand correctly and fulfill the written Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, is the Torah Shebal Peh. V'alkein mevura b'dvorov zal, and therefore, Rabbeinu Zal explains in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 28, B'shem HaMedrash, quoting a Medrash, She'ikr ha'hevdel she'bein Yisroel lo'akum hurak b'Torah Shebal Peh. That which differentiates between non-Jews and lahavdil Jews is the oral Torah. Because when it comes to written Torah, they also have a connection to it if they want. They have what they call the Old Testament, and they can have some kind of an association with it. It's the oral Torah, the Torah Shebal Peh, that separates the men from the boys, the Jews from the non-Jews. There, the goyim, the non-Jews, don't want to have anything to do with it, and it's the oral Torah that really defines Yiddishkeit for us. V'alkein, and Rav Nosson Zal says, therefore you'll observe, kol hamachakrim, all the Jewish philosophers and scientists who don't believe in the oral Torah, V'ha'holchim b'darcheim, and those who follow their path of philosophy, oiskim rak b'torah shebichsav, They focus only on the written Torah. They usually ignore and avoid the oral Torah, the Gemara, the Medrash, the Zohar Kodesh. They have no interest in that. It's enough for them. They feel connected well enough to Hashem with the written Torah. Veroitzim lefarsha al pi darcheihem. And they want to try to interpret the written Torah following their logic and their understanding. Ulegalois ponim batoira sheloi kahalocha hamesura biyadeinu balpeh. And they're trying to reveal a new face for the Torah, a new revelation, a new Torah that they're revealing, which does not conform at all with the halacha that's been given to us based on the Torah shebalpeh. Ki yadua umefursam kol zeh. Rav Nosson Zal says, and all of this is very well known. Those who know that this is what goes on. Those people who choose this path of Torah and science with the emphasis on the science, and they'll try to squeeze the Torah and twist the Torah all kinds of different ways to make sure it conforms with science, etc., putting very little emphasis on Hashem, no emphasis on tzaddikim and that kind of stuff. Those people end up playing down tremendously the Torah Shebal Peh and coming up with their own interpretations of many things in the Torah Shebichsav. And now listen to what Rav Nosson Zal reveals to us on this. Listen, Rav Nosson Zal is going to give us the inside story now on what the Torah Shebichsav is. Ki chof dalet svorim shebetorah shebichsav, the 24 books of the written Torah, which means the Chumash, the Tanakh, the Torah Neviim Ksuvim, heim keneged hachof dalet botei dinim, correspond to the 24 courts in heaven that mete out, that define justice, mishpat. She'ikr hamtokosom al yedei rotzoin ho'elyoim. And we've been learning throughout this halacha based on chapter 215 in Likutei Moran, where he spoke about sweetening the din of all the 24 courts, that the only way that the pidyon, the way to sweeten the din of all 24 courts, it requires rotzoin ho'elyon. It requires tapping into a very, very high level of rotzoin. Shenimshach al yedei hatzadikim shebechol dor, and the only ones who are capable of connecting with that rotzoin is the tzadikim, the greatest tzadikim of each and every generation. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, that there's shmad, which is the furthest the person could move away from Hashem. There's rotzoin, which is the closest possible that a person can get to Hashem, where you're tapping into the highest level of kindness that can knock out the din of all 24 courts. And in between Shmad and Rotzon, you have Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, the true tzaddikim, who are of a caliber, of a type like Moshe Rabbeinu, they're the ones who are able to connect this Rotzon and to use this Rotzon to sweeten all the din in all 24 courts. Shehem Bechinas Moshe, the tzaddikim of each and every single generation who are Bechinas Moshe, Shehem Bechinas Torah Shebal Peh. They are the oral Torah. They are the ones who have given us, just like you have the first mission in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umesora, the Mesora begins from there, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over to Yoshua, Yoshua to this Canaan, and so forth. And besides what's written, they included that which is not written, especially that which is not written. Ki Torah shebal peh nimsera midor ledor letzadiki emes. Because the oral Torah was passed down from generation to generation to the true tzadikim of each generation. Umi shepoigem bozeh. And a person who chas v'shon goes against the Torah shebal peh, umafrid chas v'shalom Torah shebichsav mitorah shebal peh, and tries to make a division, tries to separate the two, who nirgan mafrid aluf. He's committing a terrible, sinful act of causing a separation, kavyochel, by Hashem, within the holiness. This is a pasuk that's quoted very often throughout the Gemara, and especially in the Zohar HaKadosh Sifrei Kabbalah, that speaks about causing a separation between the things that need to be united, Hashem and the Shekhinah, Hashem and the Jewish people. Vazai, and when you do that, Mishtalshel mehadinim shelachof dalet boteidinim, achizas asitrachra. When a person tries to separate the Torah Shebal Peh from the Torah Shebichsav, to isolate the Torah Shebichsav, to leave those 24 books by themselves, then what ends up happening is that from those 24 books extends, when that light comes down to this world, it displays itself in the form of the Chof Dalet Botei Dinim, 24 aspects of Din, and the Sitrachra is able to attach itself to that. Shehu Bechinas Kelacher, Kfirus, that's the Sitrachra. Shezeo Bechinas Chof Dalet Mine Oifois Tmeim. This is also symbolized by the 24 types of non-kosher birds that are discussed in the Torah. Shehein Bechina Achas Im Hachayois Rois Hanal, who are in the same category as the wild animals that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about in Likutei Moran, in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran Tanina, which this halacha was also very much based on. Those wild animals who work against the Torah, who work against the tzaddikim. Shemishom kol yinikas chachmei ha-teva. We learned earlier that that's the source from which these scientists who do not believe in Hashem, who do not believe in Torah Shebal Peh, that's where they draw their power, their spiritual power from. V'alkein, and therefore, Iker Siog V'kiyum HaTorah, the main fence and protection for the Torah, that the Torah shouldn't be shooting missiles at us. The 24 books of the Torah shouldn't be shooting out 24 flavors of din. In order to protect that, we have to put a fence around the written Torah, and that fence is Al Yedei Masoris. That's our Masoris. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Tzadikim. Shubachin is Torah Shebal Peh. Ki hadibur peh yesh loy koyach godol legalois ho emes ve'muna. Rav Nosson Zal now is addressing a very important issue. One second, I understand. Hashem gave us the written Torah. Why isn't that enough? The Torah is emes. The written Torah is emes. The Torah is emuna. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, kol mitzvosecho emuna. So if the mitzvahs and the Torah are presented in the written Torah, what is the Torah Shebal Peh doing for us? One of the answers here is that Rav Nosson Zal is telling us Hashem designed the world in such a way, he created the world and created man in such a way that Dibur, the power of speech, plays a very important role in Emes and Emuna. There's a lot of things that can't be written down. A person who studies anything just about, you study Torah, lahavdil, you study mathematics as the science, the wisdoms of the world. What do I need a teacher for? Just buy the book and do it yourself. And all of us know that in the vast majority of cases, there's a written, and there's certain things that aren't written, that many cases can't be written. They can't be expressed, can't be put into writing. It can only be shown visually or explained verbally. And here Rav Nosson Zal shows us, Ki adibur peh yesh loy koya godoy legaloy semes v'emuna bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, oidia emunascha befi. I enlighten you, I inform you about emuna with my mouth. So we see that there's a very important role besides the written word that has to be played by the mouth. Okay, so now we got it. We got the written Torah, we got the oral Torah. We have everything, right? No problem, right? Wrong. Aval ezeh l'umaseh. But unfortunately, in order for there to be free choice, there has to be an opposite. For everything, there has to be an opposite. Ki af heim boim ba'odam shekoichei bepiv. Because we see that when Balak, when the enemy, wanted to go against the Jewish people, they analyzed the main strength of the Jews. They understood that the main strength of the Jews is the peh, the Torah Shebal Peh, the tzaddikim, the mouth of the tzaddikim, and therefore they searched and found a person, a Rosha, Bilam, whose whole power was with his peh, with his mouth. As there are many psukim in the Torah that show that, ki pihem diber shov, their mouths speak falsehood. And as the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 12, yachreis Hashem kol sifsei chalokois, may Hashem cut away those smooth tongues, those smooth speaking characters, lushoin medaberes gedoilois, those tongues that speak high, lofty things, asher amru lil shoinenu nagbir, who say to themselves, ha, their powers with their tongues, we'll strengthen ourselves with our tongues also. Sfasenu itanu, our lips are with us. Mi odoin lanu, who is our boss? Who's Hashem? Hashem nothing. Jews nothing. We also, they have a mouth, we have a mouth also. Shekol ze huma shebiarnu leil binyan bilam. All of this ties into what we explained earlier regarding Bilam. Shehu beklipa keneged Moshe begdusha. Bilam is in the sitrachra, in the other side, exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was, lahavdil, within the holiness. Ki habechira yesh lo koyach godol. Because this issue of free choice plays an incredibly important role in how everything works. V'alkein, and therefore, heimoimrim, they say, the other side says, Sfaseinu itanu, our lips are with us. You have a mouth, we also have a mouth. And all of us know, you take a look in Eretz Yisrael today, it's been said so many times. Those who are in control are not necessarily, it's becoming more and more obvious every day, just in the state of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, that those who are in control are not necessarily the majority at all, and not the majority of the opinion. So how are they maintaining control? The answer is the media. If you're the mouth, if you have control over the mouth, over the radio, the television, the newspapers, you can, even if you're a minority, you can have incredible influence and control of what's, you can paint the picture any way you want it. They say the word history is his story. The one who wrote it writes it any way he wants. That's history. Alachas kama vekama. When we talk about newspapers, when we talk about photographing what happened, everybody knows. Today you have little girls, 6-year-old girls, who have Photoshop, who can change any photo, who can make any photo look like, who can make Davy look like Goliath, and Goliath look like Davy, make the worst Russia look like a cream puff, and make a normal, rational, intelligent, good person look like a villain, the worst villain in the world. Ki gam heim mizgabrim bilashoinom ubepihem lahastir emes. Because they also use their mouths and their tongues to hide the truth, to cover up the truth. Umeforshim hatorah bepihem kedarkom haro. And they interpret the Torah with their mouths according their wrong way. They prove from the Torah how everybody has to follow their ideology. Everyone has to serve in the army. The rabbis, there's no exception, etc., etc. The way they picture it. That's called Yiddishkeit. That's the real definition of Yiddishkeit. Shekol ze nimshach mi meitzach hanochosh. All of this comes from the origin of the snake, the klipa, the sitrachra. Avol, however, we learned earlier, hachnosoi, that the way that we're able to defeat the sitrachra, the meitzach hanochosh, and all of this, is al yedei tzedoko amitis. Through quality tzedakah, real tzedakah, when the tzedakah is going to the right place and it's being given the right way, when the person tries to play himself down, to take as little personal credit for it as possible, to see to it that all the honor is going, all the respect is going for Hashem. Shehu bechinas nedorim, which we mentioned earlier, is the concept of vows. And this is why right after, the Tana over there in Pirkei Avos says that Masores is a Siog Fatoira, right after it he says Maisrois is a Siog Loisher. That charity is a protection against wealth, and Nedorim vows are a protection, a support for precious, for a person who wants to become more spiritual. Because through Jews giving their maisers properly, which is all referring to the category of tzedakah, shehu siog la'osher, which is a protection. That's what purifies. Money can be a dirty, filthy, ugly thing, or money can be a holy, pure, constructive, positive thing. And when a Jew is zeicha to handle it properly, to give Hashem his portion first, just like you have meat. Meat that has blood in it, treif blood, is treif. It's destructive. Person eats it, it'll turn him into an animal. And if you first salt the meat and you remove the bad, the unkosher blood from it, then the meat gets elevated. When a Jew eats that meat, the behemah gets elevated and the person eating it that gets elevated from it. Lahavdil here also, when it comes to money, the same thing. The word damim is used for blood, and the word damim means money. The Torah says a person has to salt the money. How do you salt the money? You remove Hashem's portion. You give Hashem his piece, the tzedakah, the maaser. Then the remaining money becomes something that has a bracha to it. Shehu tzedakah shehu siog la'osher. When the maisers and the tzedakah is given properly, then the wealth goes over to the side of holiness. And so too through vows, that's how we overcome and we strengthen ourselves over against those who oppose our Masoris, our true Jewish tradition, Shehu Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Oral Torah. Why? What does money have to do with it? What does charity have to do with it? The answer is money has everything to do with it. Ki kol hisgabrusam hu alidei hamomoin voashirus. Because these turkeys, these characters, these people who are controlling the media and this, these people who are against the Torah Shebal Peh, against tzaddikim and everything, where are they getting this power from? What's giving them that power? The answer is money, wealth. The Sitrachra, the Sotan, made sure to see to it that these guys have money, and with money they can buy control. They can buy newspapers, they can buy radio stations, they can buy government members, they can buy whoever and whatever they want to buy. Shehu ato begolus etzlam. And we know that today, while we are in exile, the money and the wealth is in exile by the other side, by the Sitrachra. Most of the money, the billions and trillions, is by the goyim, or within the Jewish nation, it's by the non-religious, and in many cases, the anti-religious. So that's number one. That's one of the things that they use to gain power and control. And also, Validei Riboy Taivas Niuf, Shehem Meshukoim Bazemoid. And also, through the Pritzus, the Taivas Niuf, the wrong kind of behavior between men and women, and Tznius, and all of those things, which these characters are steeped in, that's what they're really involved in. Again, the advertising industry, fashion, it's all one caboodle. It's all that same gang that's what they're involved in. Shekol ze b'chinas Bilam. All of this is the ideology and the platform of Bilam. Shehoyoloi nefesh rechava, where the Torah tells us that Bilam was a fat cat. Bilam was nefesh rechava, lemomoin v'kovoid uliznus. What was Bilam into? What did he want a lot of? He wanted a lot of money. He said to Balak's guys, even if Balak fills up rooms of gold and silver, the Gemara says, look how this guy talks. Look what he's into. He's into roomfuls of gold and silver. That's what he's all about, Bilam. The wealth and the kovoid, the personal kovoid and arrogance, and znus, the wrong kinds of relationships with men and women. Shemishom kol kinosom ba'am Hashem haksherim hadveikim betzadik yemes. And it's as a result of this, this is what generates their jealousy, their envy, their evil look at the religious people who are attached to the true tzadikim. Al kein, therefore, al yedei tzedakah shubachinas maisrois, when a Jew is zeicha to take the money that he gets and he koshers it. He puts a kiddush on it by giving meiser, by giving tzedakah. Shaydei ze zoichen lashirus digdusha. The Mishnah says meisrois is siog lashirus. Meisrois, the pasuk says aser ta'aser. Give meiser, the Gemara says aser bishvil shetisasher. Give meiser so you'll become wealthy. That'll put a bracha into your money. Number one, that whatever money you have, it'll cover all of your needs. And if it doesn't, Hashem will multiply your money. Now, there's one or two things is going to happen. If you're earning $25,000, then Hashem will see to it that your $25,000 will stretch and will cover everything you need. Your $25,000 will accomplish. You have people who have 12 children, and if you look at what they're earning, it's $25,000, and they're paying all their bills with that. And then you have another guy who can have two kids or one and a half, one kid and a cat. And they're earning $100,000 and they're in debt. They're mortgaged and banked and all kinds of stuff, Rahman Sun. That's one option. Or option two is that as a result of giving tzedakah and meiser properly, Hashem will give the person more. Hashem has all kinds of ways. People have seen it throughout. We see it around us every day in Eretz Yisrael. You can't rationalize how tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are sitting studying Torah, children, parents, and grandparents. The boy is in Kollel, his father's in Kollel, and the grandfather's in Kollel, and they're getting married, and they have homes, and they're feeding, and the kids are wearing clothes. How in the world is it adding up? The answer is, it is. You have this concept of maestro is siog lashiros, that if a person deals with money properly in a kosher way, Hashem sees to it that they have what they need. They're blessed. And if they don't get it this way, they'll get it some other way. If it doesn't come from this channel, harbe shluchim yeshla, Hashem has unlimited ways of getting money to a person. It doesn't have to be specifically through a job. It doesn't have to be only through bituach liyumi. If Hashem wants, it'll come from any way He wants it to. Alkein, al yidei tzedakah shubchinas maisrois, shayidei zeh zoichan lashiros digdusha, v'yidei bichinas nedarim, through this with some resgabim. V'ho ikar, and Rabbi Nezal says the main thing is, shal yidei hatzedakah bichinas nedarim, mezgaber hizgalus harotzen boilam. Now Rabbi Nelson Zal makes it a little more clear. The main thing, one of the main things that tzedakah and maisrois accomplishes is, that it reveals this issue of Ratzon, that everything in the world is Ratzon Hashem. Here again, if a person is giving charity, he's making it perfectly clear that it's not mine and I, and if I give away, I'm going to have less. The fact that he's taking some of his and giving it to somebody else shows awareness, recognition, that it's not mine, that there's somebody else in charge. There's somebody else that's dividing it up. And the person, the one in charge, Hashem said, 90, to keep 90, get rid of the other 10. Make sure you give it to the proper place, that kind of thing. That's one of the ways that we really broadcast this ratzon, this recognition that will of Hashem, not my will, not what I want. So you really want to do that? The answer is, I want to do it. No normal person wants to part with what he has. That's crazy, right? The answer is, you're right. That's if we're going with my ratzon. If we're going with a human, animalistic ratzon, you're 100% right. But if a person says, what do you want? And the answer is, I don't. I don't want anything. It's what Hashem wants. I don't have any personal ratzon. There is no. What Hashem defines, what Hashem wants, that's what I want to conform to. That's what I want to try to do. This is why the tzedakah is a major example of this hizgalus of rotzen in the world. Shehakol misnaheg beretzoinoi levad. It shows faith in the fact that everything is being controlled only by Hashem's rotzen. Ve'ein shum teva klal. There is no teva, there is no nature. It doesn't, that if I subtract, if I take 10,000 out of my bank, that does that mean I have 10,000 less? Definitely not, 100% no. It means that that's going into a savings account. That's the real, that's my blessing. That's my insurance policy. That's what's going to ensure that the 90 won't disappear, chas v'shalom. Ki gam hateva bi'atzmoi misnaheges beretzaynoi tomid. Because even what appears to be teva is being controlled totally by the rotzayn of Hashem, or constantly. U'beyad Yisrael levatel hateva kiretzaynom alidei tfilos v'kanal. And the Jewish people possess the power to override teva based on our rotzayn through tefillah. The canal, as we discussed earlier. Vayedeze mizgaber kol echod beretzoinois chazokim utkifim tomid lashem isbora. And this is what helps the Jewish people get stronger all the time with good desire, with the right desires, the desires that Hashem wants us to have. Shezeh ho'ikr. That's the most important thing for a person to be growing all the time, getting to higher and higher levels of training themselves to want the right thing. Umi shechozok boze tomid. And a person who is solid in these things that we spoke about, Torah Shebal Peh, and Maisroi Senedorim, umachnes derech ze boilom, and the person introduces this derech to the world, bevadai yizgaber aleihem, that person will definitely succeed in defeating the other side, the Sitra Achra, v'yachnia v'yakoyer haminim v'acholkim, he will succeed in subduing and uprooting the apikursim and the opposing forces, v'yivatel deyoseim horois menoylam, and he'll succeed in obliterating their wrong type of ideology from the world. V'zehu, and this is why the final statement in that mission in Pirkei Avos is siog lachochma shtika, that a fence, a protection around chochma is silence. Where does this come in? Rav Nosson Zal is presenting a very critical point here now, because this is one of the things that many people get messed up with, that when a person is privileged to come close to the emes, a person becomes religious, and he's learning, and he's davening, and he's growing, and he's feeling great about it, so he wants to share the wealth, he wants to publicize it. And who does he want to publicize it to first? The strongest opposition, the strongest opponents of Yiddishkeit and everything. He wants to be makar of them, he wants to show them how wrong they are. So Rav Nosson Zal says, ki i'efsher lehizvakeach imohem ad k'tzei ho'achroin. It is impossible now, while we're in Golus, to debate with them to the last drop, you know, to go all the way, to go all the way in trying to debate and trying to prove to them how totally wrong they are, etc., etc. Rak tzrichen ledaber bechochmo amitis, ma shetzrichen ledaber. But rather, a Jew who has been privileged to be introduced to the emes, to the real emes, has to see to it when he speaks to other people to speak to them with true chachma, with true intelligence, choosing his words, understanding his audience, realizing who he's talking to and what he's saying. Can they hear it or not? We know in halacha it says that if you see a person committing a sin, and if you know that if you tell him that that's a sin, he's going to keep doing it, you're not allowed to tell him. Shut your mouth. Better that he should be a shoygig than be amazed. Better he should do it not knowing necessarily that it's clearly against the Torah than you telling him it's against the Torah, and then he does it and you made it worse. So we see that there's an amount of chachma, there's an amount of intellect needed to know to choose your words, who you're talking to, what you say, what you don't say. V'chol ma shemedabrim b'chochma negdom, heim choytrim b'yoyser lizgaber keneged emes yosef yoyser. And unfortunately, many times, even a person who is smart and who knows what to say and debates with them and is able to put them in their place, they don't quit usually. They don't turn over and play dead all the time. They'll come back again. They'll come back stronger sometimes in many cases. They'll dig and try to go against the emes even more stronger than they were before. V'alkein, and therefore the Mishnah adds this important note, siog lachochma shtika, that a protection for the chochma of Kedusha is knowing that there's a lot of times that the best and most proper thing to do is to be quiet. Shetzrichim lidoim velishtoik. We have to be quiet. Ad yashkif veyera Hashem mishamayim. Until Hashem, who is looking down at all of this from heaven, will see and will see fit to reveal the truth, you know, to everybody. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, doim Lashem, be silent for Hashem's honor, v'hischoil Eloi, and Hashem will choose when to put an end to the sheker, etc. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 62, ach leloikim doimi nafshi, only for Hashem, my soul is silent, meaning I know that there are certain times that I just have to be quiet. It's not worth it. It's not an option to get into a debate with certain people at certain times. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Eichot chapter 3, Toiv v'yochil v'doimeim l'tshuas Hashem. It's good for those who have the ability to wait and yearn and be silent while they're waiting for Hashem's salvation. Because the most important thing is for you to first make sure that you're solid in the emes, to make sure that you're learning as much as you can and trying to understand as best as you can the emes. And you're doing everything you can to search for it and to get better and better in it through Torah and Tefillah and Tzadikim. And to keep upgrading and increasing your desire for Hashem, your desire for Kedusha, for the right thing, and for the truths of the Torah. Ulamitas Torosoi. Ve'im efshe ledaber emechod. And if at times it's possible to speak to somebody, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, an associate, ulahoshivo yelemes, and to bring him close to the truth, matoiv, wonderful. Ve'im lav, and if you can't do it, if you're not the one, or it's not the right time, or he doesn't want to listen, tzrichim lishtoik. You have to have the ability to hold back, to be silent. Bebechinas siog lachochma shtika. As the Mishnah says there, that a fence, a protection for the chochma, is support for the chochma, is silence. V'alkein ksiv, and this is why we have two psukim in Mishlei that say the exact opposite thing. There's one pasuk in Mishlei chapter 26 that says, "Ane ksil ki'ivaltoi," answer a fool according to his foolishness. Uksiv, and right there it also says, "Altan ksil ki'ivaltoi," don't answer a fool according to his foolishness. Ki eis lachshois. Because as the Pasuk says in Koheles, there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Ach soif kol soif, kol yemei hagolus he mizgabrim bedibureim. Because unfortunately, after everything and everything, as long as we are still in Golus, they are fighting very strong and they are playing the leading role with their words. They're in control of the media, they're in control of their broadcasting, and their dibur is reaching all over the world. They're the ones who CNN and all the whole world sees the picture that they paint. Utzrichim hachachomim amitiim lasoi siog ledevreim al yidei ashtika. And therefore the true chachomim, the true tzadikim, have to be able to put a fence around their words, meaning by being able to be quiet, shehu b'chinas rotzayin, which is also an example of rotzayin. Rotzayin means desire, yearning, which is not something that is necessarily able to be put into words sometimes. Sometimes it's a longing and a yearning that's above words, that goes beyond. There are times that a person loves somebody so much that they say, I can't put it into words. The feeling, the desire that I have for you, the avo and rotzayin, is something that words are too limited to be able to express. So again, this shtika is another term for rotzayin. Silence is another word for rotzayin in certain cases. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, doim lahashem, be silent for Hashem, v'hischoil Eloi. Hischoil, the Gemara says, has many meanings. One meaning is that Hashem will take care of your enemies. Hashem will be mapil chalolim chalolim. Hischeloi also means sometimes that you sometimes end up being degraded because of that. Because they say, oh, you have nothing to say, right? And they'll make fun of you because of your silence. But your silence isn't because you don't have what to say. Your silence is because you don't have who to say it to. Because there aren't ears that are receptive, that are willing to listen. Paragraph Tzadik Zayin. Now Rav Nosson Zal drops another bomb, a whole new concept that he's adding to this that sharpens some of the things we said earlier on the topic of tefillah, his spodidus, in terms of ratzon. Paragraph Tzadik Zayin. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin Mashom Razal, take a look at what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the Perek Nigmar Adin, al posuk hayaroich shuacho loy betzor. This is a very important posuk that the Gemara quotes there, a posuk in Iov, chapter 36, which has several different interpretations. The Gemara over there says that Iov's friends said to him, you're going through all of this suffering now. Hashem dropped a nuclear bomb on you. Did you prepare tefillos before this happened? Hayaroich shuacha. Did you prepare a shava tefila loibetzor when you weren't in crisis mode? And they were telling him a very important point, a very important lesson for us. Rav Nosson Zal says that the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin elaborates, kama v'kama tzrichim lehischazek ulehisametz betfila. How much a Jew has to be strong and get stronger all the time in begging Hashem for kindness. As the Gemara says over there, that a Jew should always pray before the suffering, before the tragedy, before they get the bad news. Unfortunately, human nature is that on the way, when we have a doctor's appointment, on the way the person says, Hashem, please help me. And the person stops to think, hold on a second. Why? How come yesterday? How come last week I wasn't davening for health? Why are we so blind? How does the Eitz Hara get us so caught up in all kinds of nonsense that I forget that one of the most important things that I need to be mispowel for is my own health. And not to wait till it hurts, not to wait till there's an infection, or not to wait till the doctor says, guess what, chas v'sham lo aleinu. This is one of the things that the Gemara makes perfectly clear, that the time to be davening for your health is before, or your parents' health, or whoever it is loy betzor, before there's a crisis, before there's chas v'sham any bad news. The Gemara says there, continues to say there, Reish Lakish Shama, Reish Lakish said, Kol ha-me'ameitz atzmoi betfila milamato. Any Jew who fortifies himself, not a Jew who davens, he's ma'ameitz. He pushes himself very hard when it comes to tefila down below on earth, ein lo itzore milamala, will wipe out his opposition upstairs. That person will not have prosecutors. He won't have destructive angels working against him, because tefillah is one of the most powerful antidotes to that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says over there, this is all right in that page of Gemara, Lo'olam yevakesh odom rachamim, sheyihu hakoil ma'amtsim eskoichoi, val yuloi tzorim milamala. Listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan says, a Jew should constantly be begging Hashem that everyone should be helping him, that everyone should be on his side. Who's everyone? Rashi says over there, the angels in heaven, that they should also support me. They should present my side. They should defend me. And I should not have forces working against me above. This is what Rashi HaKodesh says over there in the Gemara. Lo'olam yevakesh odom rachmim. A person should beg Hashem constantly, sheyu hakoil mamtsim eskoichoi, that everybody should be supporting him. Everybody should be helping him. What does that mean? Sheyisayuhu malachei hashores levakesh rachmim. That the angels in heaven should help me plead my case to Hashem. They should help me present my case properly, to say the right kind of words, the right tefillah. You hear what the Gemara is saying? You hear the things you're allowed to ask for? A Jew is allowed to ask. A Jew is allowed to ask for help. A Jew needs help. Are you nuts? There's a heavenly court. You're a lawyer. You're an attorney. And if you are an attorney down here, you didn't practice law upstairs in the court over there. You know exactly what to say. You're going to rely on your own words. A person has to beg Hashem. Hashem, help me. Help me get all the help that I need. Whether it's tzaddikim defending me, davening for me, or whether it's malachim, angels in heaven. A person can get help from them. There are so many stories in the Gemara and the Midrash and other cases of malachim who defend, who help a person. They can work for or against the person. V'ho'ikr l'inyonenu, Rav Nosson says, the main point I want to make here regarding what we're talking about here, hu pirish Rashi anal, is what Rashi HaKodesh says over there. Sha'al ze bi'atzmoi tzrichim levakesh rachamim lo'ilam. That one of the most important things a person has to daven for is davening. That's one of the most things, what's one of the things you have to daven for? To have a good tefillah. That Hashem should help me and the angels will help, should help me. Everyone should help me pray properly. Hainu shelo'olam tzorech odom levakesh rachamim, sheyucha levakesh rachamim. A person has to beg Hashem, to be zoiche to beg Hashem, to be zoiche to daven properly. It's amazing. I just heard this. I read it recently in a sefer, and I heard it last night in a shiur by Reb Nachman Burshtin. He was quoting a story about one of the outstanding Breslover in Poland, one of the greats, a person who became a Breslover chassid because he saw the Breslover, their closeness to Hashem, their devotion, everything, and this person was nuclear in his tefillah. And he became more and more religious, more involved in Torah and tefillah, and he was responsible for the Eruv of the city. He would take one, his job was, so he obviously didn't make any big money, and his responsibility usually took him on Erev Shabbos, you know, till the last minute to make sure everything was in order, you know, till right before close to Shabbos. And he would come into shul, and he would daven mincha, let's say, with the other people. When it came to Kabbalah Shabbos, he'd wait till everybody finished, and then he'd stay there for another hour or two to do his Kabbalah Shabbos, a nuclear Kabbalah Shabbos. And his tefillah and everything was incredible. So one time, his son asked him, Daddy, let me ask you a question. You daven so hard and so well. Your tefillah, a person watches you davening, they can tell that you're one with Hashem. Where's all the money? Where's the beef? Where's all the success? Where's all the... The father looked at him and he said to him, you don't get it. That is the success. There is no greater success and joy in life than to be able to daven to Hashem. To be able to talk to Hashem, that is the ultimate. And again, a person hears this and they laugh. Let's look, lahavdil in the Gashmi world. We've given this example other times. You tell a person, I'll arrange a meeting for you with the president of the United States. Again, unfortunately, in recent years, that's become too much of a joke. But years ago, when there was a degree of respect for the president of the United States or the king of any of these countries, today it's becoming more obvious that all of these guys are losers. All the leaders, you know, the Gemara says that when we come to the coming of Mashiach, Pnei Hador ke Pnei Akelev, the face of the leaders will be like dogs, you know, and it'll be more and more obvious there. But once upon a time, when there was dignity, when there was royalty, people paid $100,000 and did unbelievable somersaults to arrange for a two-minute meeting with the president or a head of a country, or again, a CEO of one of the top companies. Person will be more than happy to put down $1 million in some cases to have a 5-minute meeting to get a shot at 50 million, 100 million through their connection, through their meeting with this person. Lahavdil. Here we're talking about meeting a boss of a human being who's here today, gone tomorrow. Lahavdil, if a Jew stops for a moment to think what it means to be privileged to be speaking directly to Hashem. And that Hashem wants to hear. He's listening carefully to every, according to how serious I am, that's how serious, according to how serious I am and what I'm saying, that's how seriously Hashem is listening. So a person has to always beg Hashem to be zoicha to daven properly. As Rashi HaKadosh said over there clearly, Shapirish Rashi explained that a person has to plead, beg, that everyone should help him. In what? Rashi says over there, that the angels, the heavenly angels, and all the malachim, malachim are also tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, there's a pasuk, vayu malivim b'malachi elokim, that during the time of Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Jews were making fun of the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are called malachi elokim also. So one of the main things that a Jew has to beg Hashem for is that all the angels and all the tzaddikim should help me daven, should assist me in my tefillah, that my tefillah should come out the right way and should get to where it's supposed to get to. V'hovein heitev heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, understand very, very well, ad kama tzrichim lischazik bebakoshes rachmim. How much a Jew has to put into tefillah. This isn't a joke. This isn't fast food. It isn't what 99% of Klal Yisrael is doing. That's not tefillah. Sitting with your legs crossed and talking about the market and this, that, and sneaking in a Baruch Shamar in the middle, and that ain't tefillah. That's not the real deal. Ki afal pi shehu bo lefarish sichosoi beinoi levein koinoi. Because even when a person comes to speak to Hashem in his own words, from his heart, ve'eino yochel liftoach piv klal, and he can't open his mouth, he doesn't have what to say, the person feels mamish stuck, he doesn't have what to say, afal pikein hu tzorech lischazek levakesh rachmim al ze biatzmoi, then this is the most important thing he should be saying at that time. He should be begging Hashem, look at this, Hashem, you're the creator, and this is one of the best opportunities in life that I have, that I have the opportunity to speak to you, and I'm so crazy, I'm so sick, I don't even know what to say at a time like this. And to beg Hashem to be zoiche, that the Malachi Ashura should help me be zoiche, to plead my case properly. V'chein la'olam. And this is not just when a person doesn't have what to say. Even when a person does have what to say, he has to beg for assistance to be able to sharpen his tefillah, to improve his tefillah, that it should be able to have the proper effectiveness. V'hovein heitev. Understand this very, very well. We'll hold it over here for now. Rav Nosson Zal is going to hear the next paragraph. We touched on the topic of Kohanim.